Good morning. And on this first day of retreat, it can be helpful to keep our attention just primarily on the breath, to allow other things to come up and stay in the background. Just to put everything else just aside. Put it on a shelf somewhere. And just keep your attention centered on the breath. I like to remember that we are born with an in-breath and that we die with an out-breath. Mindfulness of breathing connects us with this breath of life that's fundamental to our lives. The air we breathe, masks and all, is shared not only with the plants outside that generate our oxygen and take away our carbon dioxide, but with all living beings. Staying intimate with our breath, with a regularity of breathing, keeps us connected to our body and anchored to the present. It keeps us from getting lost in fantasies and unhelpful ruminating, thinking, all the things that distract us. The breath is simple, just coming right back to the simple rhythm of breathing in and out. As we settle in the breath, eventually our concentration begins to build, sometimes slower than we tend to like. But the idea is to just keep coming back. It begins to calm the mind and bring ease to us. An instruction that I found helpful for myself is that to try not to move much, to not fidget. It doesn't mean that we don't move at all. Sometimes it's really the skillful thing is to change postures. But when we do have to move or change postures, to make that part of your meditation. It's not a mistake. It's not something you want to do really quickly so you can go right back to meditation. It's part of the meditation. Every part of the movement can be a continuous time of mindfulness. So if you haven't yet found a comfortable position, please do so, whether you're on the floor or a chair. If you feel imbalanced in any way, you might want to rock back and forth and, you know, find a place where you just feel kind of balanced, where your body is as much at ease as possible. We want to have the body upright but relaxed. Being relaxed is just as important as being upright. And allow your eyes to close. And it's helpful settling in to begin with a couple of very deep, slow breaths. And with each exhale, relaxing just a little bit more. Allowing the breath to return to normal. Don't try to control the breath in any way. Just let it be as it is. And if you have the tendency to kind of unconsciously control it, that's okay. Just don't do it on purpose. Don't make yourself wrong. Just be at ease with it. Okay, get a gentle sense of how you feel right now. Your body, your attitude. And it can be helpful to kind of systematically scan the body and relax what you can relax. Maybe starting with the forehead, the face, the jaw, the entire head. Connecting with the neck and shoulders. Relax what you can relax. If something doesn't relax, you can just soften around it. Nothing to force. Allowing it to be as it is. Relaxing your upper back, middle back, low back. The front of your chest, the solar plexus, having a soft belly, relaxing the belly, letting go into the pelvis, allowing your arms to relax. The wrists, the hands, the fingers. And gently you can begin to scan the legs, the thighs, the knees, the lower leg, the feet, and begin to notice how you experience the breath. Notice the movement of air, the movement of muscles. What happens when you breathe? What moves? What changes? You may feel the belly going up and down, rising and falling. Or the chest rising and falling. Or the rib cage expanding and contracting all the way into the back. You may feel the air coming in and out of the nostrils, going down the back of your throat. And begin to notice where the sensations are easiest to feel. And begin to allow your attention to rest there. Wherever it's easiest to pay attention. And once you've kind of settled in an area, allow your attention to rest there. This is your home base, your anchor. It's helpful for your attitude to be curious and non-judgmental. You're here to discover what's present, however it is. Doesn't have to be any particular way. If it's helpful, you can label each inhale and exhale quietly, like a mental whisper. You can think to yourself, in, out, or rising, falling. But allow most of the attention to be in the actual sensations of breathing, the felt sense of the breath. Be particularly mindful whenever there's a gap at the ends of the breath, as it's easier for the mind to drift then. It can help to pay attention to half a breath at a time. Just the full in-breath. There's the gap. And full out-breath. Carefully noticing the gap. One continuous cycle. Some people find it helpful to count their breaths. If you count, one way is to count with each exhale. Count 10 breaths and start over. If you get distracted, start over. It doesn't matter if you never get past 2 breaths. As long as we begin again and again, we're continuing to train this mind. If your attention has drifted, notice it and gently escort it back to the breath. It's normal for the attention to drift. There's no need to judge it. It's like a muscle. The more you bring it back, the concentration develops. One of the most important parts of training the mind is starting over again, bringing the attention back to the present in a gentle, welcoming, unhurried way. Coming back to our home base. for these last couple of minutes. See if you can stay connected with every breath. Just as it's helpful to take a few deep breaths to settle into meditation, it's useful to do so on coming out. So when I ring the bell, you might take a couple of deep breaths before opening your eyes. So, on this first day of retreat, there's often a lot of momentum to our thinking, and it's not a problem. We practice with our mind just as it is. What's important is mindfulness. It's important to not be in conflict with what is. We can be mindful with a busy mind, with a chaotic mind. We can be mindful with a peaceful mind. But when we get distracted, we can allow the breath to be the tether that brings us back. One of the things that mindfulness of breathing does is it shows us how much the mind is away from the present. It tends to drift a lot in most of our lives. But instead of allowing that to discourage us, it's useful to see it, to be relaxed about it, to just begin again. Eventually, just the regularity of coming back and coming back gradually stops fueling the tendency to think so much, to be so busy with our thoughts, and just naturally the momentum of our thinking begins to slow down. There's no need to force anything. And actually, the more at ease you are about it, the easier it is to just relax into it, keep coming back, And the easier it is for calm to arise. So many of us aren't used to sitting all day. You know, we may get a few little aches and pains. Some of you may have noticed that already. It's important to be gentle with ourselves this first day in particular. Do not push the body too much. So feel free to change postures as you need to. Especially, you know, most of us are not used to long hours of sitting still. We might be used to sitting on a working at the computer, but it's very different on our bodies, just the sitting still on a chair or a cushion. So our bodies will adapt, just but not if we push it too hard on this first day. Also, some people are tired sometimes on the first day of retreat. They might get sleepy. I don't know if it's happened yet. Yeah, I see some nods. You know, it's natural. It's normal. The momentum of our lives, you know, suddenly we just finally relax, and the tendencies to maybe we're catching up and need to catch up on sleep. So it's fine. It's fine that we're sleepy. And you might take a few minutes, you know, during a walking period at some point and take a short nap. So next, Gil is going to offer some walking meditation instruction. But first, I have a few announcements. At the 11 o'clock, after the 10:15 sit, at the end of it, Gil is going to do some posture instruction. You know, if you're in another room, feel free to come into the room for that piece. And also, some of you who have your work meditations in the kitchen at that time, if you want to attend the posture instruction, you're welcome to, but please leave a note for the cooks so they know, you know, to expect that you won't be there. And then tonight at the 6:45 sit, we're going to have a little informal, what we call a fireside chat in here. Just a time to touch base and connect, in particular for people who are new to retreat or new to IRC, sometimes we say who are newish, you know. So if it feels appropriate for you, please come. So it'll be at the end of the 6:45 sit. And I think that's all I have for announcements. So Gil?
We'll start the cycle of one-on-one meetings with Inez and I tomorrow to be able to talk about your practices. 15-minute meetings you'll have with each of us in the course of the retreat. And there's more to be said about it, but we'll talk about it a little more this afternoon. But today's a quiet day to just kind of settle in. And I want to highlight for you one of the really valuable, important, special practices here at IMC that if you do this carefully will bring you to, if not the brink of awakening, to awakening itself. And it involves careful attention, really being mindful and present and awake in a heightened way with peace, real peacefulness, and learning how to engage in a really peaceful, delighted, even a happy way to give yourself over fully to this activity. And that is to open and close doors. And it's not just me saying this. Thomas Merton, who's one of the great practitioners, spiritual practitioner of the 20th century, a Catholic monk, was asked what he learned in his years in the monastery. And he said he learned to open and close doors. I don't think he was, you know, being flip. So, and then more practically, the reason for that here is that we were required by the fire department to have very heavy doors. And if they close without the care, they slam hard, and because of the flooring and everything, it reverberates through the hallways. And for some people, they have they're sleeping or napping, which is important. Some people have very sensitive startle reflexes, and it's kind of agitating to hear it. So I would encourage you to use this awakening opportunity to really, discover the deeper potential and possibility of that presence and attention to an opening and closing door. And enlightenment is a little bit closer. When you close your door, you have the handle down so that you can avoid the click. The click of the door latch is probably not enlightening. So that's the silence of that going in. That is what really prepares the mind and the heart for something special. So you pull it down the handle and close the door, and then you lift it up so the little latch goes in. So this is one of the specialties of IRC. And for people sitting in here, I see that there are some seats in here. There's one blue square on the, I guess that's Abhatan, that mat went away, so someone could come in here and sit, if they want to sit in the hall here on the floor, that's available. And if you want to reserve one spot in this hall, please make sure you're sitting gear on it. But if you're not reserving it, take everything off. That way other people know they can use it. So if you decide to change where you're going to sit and all that, but it doesn't mean that you have to stay here, be here for every sit. But if you decide that this is not where you're going to be mostly, then, And I see that there are it looks like three seats not being used right now. Some of them might be reserved for whoever wants to use it for the particular time, so they can't be reserved continuously. And the one over there, I don't know, but that one has four cushions on it and for the chair. So I don't know if that's someone's reserving that or not, but that's where we don't know. And so we'll assume someone's, not here usually. So then walking meditation. Walking meditation is something that we are learning and developing and discovering. It's all the different potentials of it continuously in a whole career, a whole lifetime of mindfulness practice. And it's not something just for beginners, just like, we give so-called beginning instructions of mindfulness of breathing. And so you breathe three or four times and then you have it. Okay, I'm done. Walking meditation is something that it keeps opening up and opening up, and I've come to appreciate it more and more in these decades I've been practicing it. So, but it only works, in some ways it doesn't work at all. it's a completely like a dud. It doesn't work if you don't do it. But if you do it, then, it has opportunity to start kind of clicking for you or coming alive in some nice way. For some people, it's an acquired taste. It was for me. I didn't really like it when I was introduced to it, but I did it anyway, and sure enough, it was an acquired taste. Now I love it and really found it great, valuable. So it's worthwhile, if you're in that initial period of not really caring for it, to give yourself over to it the best you can. It'll come, the value of it. I'm sure of it, because what's really being developed through doing it is this clarity of attention, this clarity of really being at home here in the present moment. And you're not going to go wrong with that. But the avenue through it is through the body, through the steps, the walking, that we discover this. And once we discover this kind of being kind of happy, contented, just being present here for the simplicity of walking, without other agendas, thinking there are more important things to do in life, just doing this, that becomes a great foundation for the practice going deeper and deeper, and more concentration, more insight. But you need to kind of first arrive and really be content to be here in this simple act of walking back and forth. And that takes a while for the mind to quiet down and settle down in order to be able to do that. And so the repetition works well. It's also very useful on a retreat like this to alternate between sitting and walking, because the two different activities activate different parts of our psychophysical system. And by going back and forth, there's a wonderful balancing that goes on, and a wonderful kind of rhythm of certain things kind of being activated and then putting to rest, and activating, putting to rest. And that rhythm, all kinds of rhythms support mindfulness. And anytime the mind is fixated on one thing and one thing only, it actually, unless it's very soft and settled and absorbed attention, the fixing is a kind of a strain. And it actually interferes with mindfulness to strain, to push hard and hold on tight or something. And then, so things that have a rhythm of relaxing and coming back. And even this being distracted and coming back is part of that rhythm. You don't necessarily have to fight it. Fighting actually probably makes you think more. But just gently, like Ines said, come back in a nice way. And that's your contribution to the rhythm. So walking and sitting together. So the idea is walking is a meditation in its own right. And it's helpful if you give yourself over to as much of the walking period or as you can, so it's uninterrupted. If you need to go to the bathroom or have tea or do something, do it either at the beginning and the end. Don't stop in the middle repeatedly to do different things. Give yourself as big a block as you can of time. And then find a walkway that you can walk back and forth. Some people like to wander around to be mindful that way, and that's okay. I mean, it's fine. However, the advantage of walking back and forth is pretty soon you know the route. And the part of the mind that is involved, very innocent and maybe quiet part of the mind that's involved with figuring out how to walk around obstacles and decide where to turn left and right, and is actually keeps the mind a little more activated. As you get more and more settled, it's nice to keep it so simple that you don't have to be any kind of mental power about finding your way. And so walking back and forth, and usually it's a distance of about 20 or 30 paces. Some people will do it in some of their own bedrooms here. But usually maybe a little bit longer. And I recommend that you begin by finding a speed, a pace that is comfortable for you, that brings you a sense of ease. And at different times, at different situations, the speed in which you walk, what brings you ease, will vary. If there are times when maybe there's a lot of emotions going on, and then it's maybe better to walk fast. The fast walking somehow allows you to kind of be with the emotion, let them course through you in a way that you don't get caught or bottled up in them. And I've done really super fast walking when I had, a lot of strong kind of feelings going on. And that was felt most respectful for what was going on. And some people's bodies are just such that they work better when walking is fast, or a regular street pace or something. Our tradition originally emphasized very slow walking, and which has its advantages, especially when the mind is settled and able to concentrate, and you can get into the subtlety of the sensations. But also for some bodies, their back or whatever reason, their knees, hips, it doesn't work to walk slow. And so it's completely fine to walk faster. If you're power walking back and forth, you probably should do it further from the people than walking slow, because it might frighten them, So find a pace that brings you a sense of ease. That's the guideline I like to give. And realizing ease varies depending on your state you're in. And then as we walk, some people find that it's kind of natural to, as they walk for the period, that they slowly slow down as they get more and more into it. And the advantage of walking slower and slower is that you start picking up more the subtlety of the many sensations in each step that you take. But you don't have to do that. It's fine to walk fast, and all the advantages of concentration and mindfulness that come with faster walking as well. So you would find a place to walk back and forth about 20 or 30 paces. Establish your easeful pace. And I also find it nice to kind of begin by walking and feeling the whole body, kind of a whole embodiment experience, you know, just kind of opening to the whole body, relaxing the whole body as you walk, and just kind of focus on the whole body experience of walking. And then as you do that, begin at some point to settle your attention down to your legs and your feet, and especially your lower legs and the feet where they touch the ground. If you're walking fast, it might mostly be the contact of the soles of the feet against the ground. If you're walking slower, you might be aware of the lifting of the foot and the putting down. If you're walking slower, you might be aware of the lifting, the moving through the air, and the putting the foot down. And then when the foot comes down, at some point, the attention is in the foot that's doing the moving. And at some point, when it feels natural and the weight begins to shift, you move your attention to the back foot and do the same with that. A little trick that I've learned that works well for me is, especially if I'm walking somewhat slow, is I imagine that my feet are sponges for sensations. So just like water, a regular sponge would just pulls up water if you put it in and it gets absorbed in the sponge. So my feet are kind of just absorbing the sensations that are there in the feet. And so I can imagine their sponge, and there comes the sensations get absorbed and move to come in. And then what that does for me is it puts me in a more receptive mode. It's more like a sense of allowing and receiving, which tends to kind of create a nice ambience in my mind for the mindfulness. That's better for me than kind of being directed and trying to hold on and searching. What's those sensations? And, you know, let's search for them and get them right away when they come. It's more like I'm there for them with the sponge, but I'm just kind of, you know, allowing something to happen and then receiving it all. And so anyway, that works well for me. So I don't know if that little image works for you. And so then as we get into the walking, the flow of it, it can be helpful to make very subtle, very small mental notes. Especially, it's kind of a way of using thinking to stay present rather than having your thinking take you away. And so sometimes it's good for the thinking mind to have something to do rather than daydreaming. And so we're giving it something to do, which is a one-word thought. Stepping. Or if you're going slow, lifting, placing, or lifting, moving, placing. So very simple, kind of just to help you stay there and keep you there. And the mental noting is like 10% of your energy, and 90% goes into just, you know, feeling and sensing. If you find yourself drifting off in thought a lot, spinning out, you can stop right in your tracks and close your eyes and take stock and relax. And then after you've done that, maybe it's easier to start again and not be so caught in the thinking. And so there's many places here at IRC you can do walking. We don't really use the walking hall anymore. We still call it that during this pandemic time. But you can walk in the hallways. You can walk in the community hall. We have this wonderful rug down there that all kinds of interesting things happen on that rug. You know, but some people like to walk barefoot and do walking meditation there if it's free. Some people do yoga and all kinds of. Anyway, it's kind of available for many things. Some people will occasionally do it in the dining room if it's not disturbing people having tea there. Out in the deck, it's possible to do it. Outside on the grounds, different, all kinds of places you can do it. In your room, and hopefully you'll find a place that can be useful for you. And some people find that walking meditation works better than sitting meditation for them. And in that case, you might try to walk more. You might start doing a walking meditation during the break, even if it's really nice for you, so you come back to the sitting with the momentum of the walking that you did. And And else, finally, the thing I'll say is it's usually nice not to have the eyes wandering around looking at things, because then you're kind of too easily distracted. But to have the eyes down to about 45 degrees, and so you're not really looking at things. And if you want to look at things, then I recommend you just stop and look. Just do looking. But the idea of walking and looking is kind of breaks up the continuity or the attention. And so the eye's 45 degrees down. And generally it's nice to go someplace where there's not a lot of distractions, if there's such a thing. So enjoy the walking, and sooner or later, I hope. And so we'll have a chance now to start some of it. And some of you who were supposed to be working in the kitchen now, you're a little bit late because of me. So if you can maybe go promptly or something, or without too much delay, that would be nice. So thank you.